The Life and Martyrdom of Saint Cecilia, an abridgment of The Life of Saint Cecilia by Dom Prosper Guérinier. History throws no light upon the means used by the Holy Spirit to win her, Saint Cecilia, to this celestial doctrine of Christianity. But we know that from her earliest infancy she was initiated in the mysteries of Christianity. Probably an aged relative or faithful nurse, previously illuminated by the true light, instructed the young girl in the principles of that faith, the profession of which, in those days, almost necessarily involved the sacrifice of earthly happiness. Although Cecilia's parents were pagan, they do not appear to have opposed the attachment of their daughter to a religion which was daily gaining ground in Rome, and which had followers even in the imperial household. Either through tenderness or indifference, they permitted her to practice her religion and attend the assemblies of Christians. During the respite from persecution, a calm which was but the precursor of a storm, Cecilia publicly attended the celebration of the divine mysteries in the churches where the faithful were wont to assemble. She frequented the crypts of the martyrs, where the festivals of those Christian heroes frequently gathered the faithful of Rome, and the poor, who were entrusted with the secret of St. Urban's retreat, knew her well, and promptly delivered all her messages. The Christians of this period lived in continual expectation of martyrdom. The thought of it seemed a necessary element in all their plans for the future. Even as a sailor, who commences a long sea voyage, has ever present to his mind the dangers of a storm. Cecilia did not shrink from this prospect, so formidable to nature. On the contrary, she found rest and consolation in the thought that martyrdom would unite her forever to Christ, who had deigned to choose her from the bosom of a pagan family and to reveal himself to her. Whilst awaiting the happy summons, her heart was constantly united to that of her divine master, with whom she held colloquies day and night. Ravished with the charms of this interior communication, she sought him at all times in the holy oracles, and in the book of the Gospels, hidden under her garments, ever rested on her heart. She derived from this sacred contact a supernatural courage which elevated her above the weakness of human nature, whilst the vivifying unction of those words which are spirit and life was communicated to her. The hand of the celestial spouse could alone claim the privilege of culling this fresh and fragrant flower from among the thorns of the Gentiles, and he inspired the heart of Cecilia with a love worthy of that which he had shown her by dying upon the cross. The Virgin fully responded to the advances of her God, and vowed in her heart never to accept a mortal spouse. It is not known whether she received from St. Urban the sacred veil which Prudentia and Prudexis had worn with honor, and which formed the most beautiful ornament of many Roman virgins. Cecilia may have privately made, in the secrecy of her own heart, the sacrifice of human affections to consecrate herself to an eternal love. The spouse who had called her to be the bride of heaven accepted her vows, and awaited in eternity the day of their union. But where will this young maiden, whose soul is in heaven while her feet still tread the earth, find a protector in the most profane of cities and in the bosom of a pagan family? The spouse she has chosen will defend his bride. He has commanded her guardian angel to appear to her. This celestial messenger has assured Cecilia of his protection. He will shield her from the world and its perils. She will be conscious that he is ever at her side, ready to strike with his avenging arm the rash mortal who would presume to touch the treasure of heaven. However, the Virgin could not expect to gain without combat the nuptial crown destined for her, and she was soon called upon to merit it by a painful trial. Adorned with every natural grace, faint image of the beauty of her soul, Cecilia was fitted for the most illustrious alliance. Her parents, proud of their daughter, determined to unite her in marriage to some noble patrician. Incapable of understanding the sublime love which consumed the heart of Cecilia and the ties which bound her to heaven, they sought for her an earthly spouse, and thus compelled the bride of Christ to receive a mortal bridegroom. Marriages between Christians and pagans still occurred at this epoch. Though they sometimes led into difficult situations, they were often the instruments employed by God to gain the infidel party to the true faith. The Church, however, conformably to the apostolic doctrine, strongly disapproved of them. Necessity alone could excuse the faithful who contracted them. Cecilia, as we have said, was forced, by the imperious will of her parents, notwithstanding her vow of virginity, to marry a young pagan. The wisdom and greatness of God could alone triumph over such a painful situation. Valerian was the name of a young Roman, destined, according to human views, to receive the hand of Cecilia. His noble birth, handsome person, and generous qualities seemed to render him worthy such an honor, and he ardently longed for the day when he would possess the treasure coveted by so many young patricians. The happy bridegroom had a brother named Tibertius, whom he loved with that ingenuous and devoted affection which was one of the principal features of his character. It made him happy to think that his union with Cecilia would strengthen the tender bonds which united them. The two brothers were not mistaken in their hope, but God alone knew to what an extent the love planted in their hearts by Cecilia would surpass all earthly affection, and how soon these two brothers and their sister would pass to a region where pure souls are united in the bosom of infinite love.